I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag
salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yes.
We are now having an executive session as authorized by RCW 40.30-140-4 to discuss collective bargaining. We expect it to last about 30 minutes. Please leave your phones and your purses here in the room with Brenda. Back to order. I have an announcement. I got a letter from Gomer Evans' sister, and she said, take a walk in the Black Diamond Cemetery. Maybe you can feel the anguish. And this is just an excerpt from the letter. The city council wants to take away Labor Day. There cannot be anyone from Black Diamond on the council, or that word would not have been said. And it's her name is Lynn Bunnell. She is Gomer Evans' sister, and she's got four brothers and four sisters, eight grandchildren, nine great-grandchildren, and three great-great-grandchildren, and she wrote this letter to the council. So I'm going to have the city clerk make copies of it so you can all have a copy and make it part of the record tonight. So the next is on the agenda is the consent agenda. Councilmember Deedy.
So I'd like to make a motion that we move the consent agenda to be after public comment.
Second.
Any further comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, this is a public comment section. Please come forward and state your name and the city that you live in. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council?
My name is Pete French. I live in Bonnie Lake. I work with the Impost School District. I'm one of the project managers for the construction of the new Black Diamond Elementary School, and I'm reading the following statement into the record tonight for Superintendent Michael Nelson, who was not able to attend this meeting. The district appreciates and relies on the city's support of the Black Diamond Elementary School project. The new school is needed so the district can provide the best possible education environment city's youngest residents. The city's transportation concurrency ordinance controls the issue of traffic mitigation. Consistent with that ordinance, the district worked with the Director of Public Works and the then Director of Community Development to address traffic mitigation during the environmental review of this project. The city reviewed the traffic impact analysis, evaluated capacity needs, and identified appropriate mitigation based on projects at the affected intersections, including in the transportation element of the city's comprehensive plan. As required by a concurrency ordinance, this mitigation condition was included as part of the project's threshold determination. There was no appeal of the MDNS, and the mitigation condition is final. The concurrency ordinance does not provide for additional review or approval. We are now ready to pay the agreed and final mitigation payment so that we can obtain the building permit. This is the only outstanding item. Moving forward at this time is critical. The contractor is on site, and any delay in receipt of the building permit could lead to costly and unnecessary delay damages, and ultimately could delay the reopening of the school. We ask that you direct staff to move forward consistent with the city's concurrency ordinance and accept the mitigation payment and issue the building permit. Thank you so much for your support of our shared elementary students. Sincerely, Michael Nelson, Superintendent. I have a copy of the statement for each of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Judy?
Judy Goodwin, Black Diamond. Thank you, Mayor Benson and Council, for the opportunity to speak to you. My comments are also in regard to the resolution before you tonight. And I've read through the resolution regarding traffic mitigation fees to be paid by the Enumclaw School District. As I understand it, the funds will be set aside until the intersections needing improvement are contracted. Sounds like that's happening now. I ask the council to approve this resolution. We really must do everything we possibly can to ensure the safety of our children in Black Diamond. These mitigation fees, in particular the additional $20,000 set aside for safety, will create a safe trip for our kids coming and going from school. I have faith in the staff and in the school district and in cooperation with the city's council to understand that this resolution is valid. I hope you'll put our kids first and pass this resolution tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Brock?
Brock Deedy from Black Diamond. So I have the pleasure to say a few words about my wife, Tammy Deedy. She has been named Civil Servant of the Year for Black Diamond this year. And I'm very proud of her. So I jotted down a couple ideas, a couple things that she does around this community each year. We work at the gym, and she supports that. I do, you know, it's work for both of us. She participates in Earth Day events. She's part of the community center board, and she also volunteers Tuesdays and Thursdays up at the community board, at the community center. I'm sorry. She's a council member. She has been for 4 years now, and into her second term. We work at the farmers market on Fridays and do free crafts for the kids. So it gives the parents something to be able to go and do their shopping while their kids are working with us on free art arts. She's very inspirational. She works as a soup lady as well. She does. She's part of a lot of fundraising activity with the city for the police, for the kids. Boots and badges, Chief for a Day. She's very visible at a lot of community events. And I just wanted to say I'm very proud of her, and I think she deserves it, and congratulations.
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Go ahead.
Melody Mann, Black Diamond.
Could you speak into the microphone? You can pull it down a little bit.
Okay. Is there one? Okay. I just had some questions and nothing important.
You need to have your name and what city you're
Melody Mann, Black Diamond.
Oh, I'm sorry. We couldn't hear you.
So I just got my tab renewal for my car, and it's got a $20 fee on it that was never there before. And it's supposedly for transportation benefit district fee funds. I called the number that's at the end of the line there, that all that title of what this is supposed to be, and they said it's for roads because Black Diamond ran out of money or was running out of money, and this is for the roads. Well, aren't there other fees that are being paid that are supposedly for the roads already, like the extra fees that we pay monthly or taxes, or aren't there other monies that are supposedly being used for the roads?
Not really, no. We really have, most cities use their general fund to pay for their streets and roads, and we don't have enough in our general fund to put that in the budget for our streets and roads.
I don't know much about councils and cities, how they work, but I heard this was voted on by the council in October last year.
That's correct.
Did people have a say in this?
They could have.
Well,
did anyone? I mean, how would anyone know if they don't come to the meetings all the time?
Well, it's posted to the website, and there's minutes to the meeting, and there's also the audio to the meeting.
If people had said, no, we don't like this, would that have made a difference?
Well, this particular one at $20 doesn't have to be voted on by the public. If we were to try and collect more money, it would have to be voted on by the public. So that's a minimum that we can collect without having it voted on by the public. And we needed the roads, the money for the roads, and we had several public hearings, and nobody spoke against it. So I don't know what else to do. We announced the public hearings on the website that we were having them about this particular fee.
And it also came through the Planning Commission.
Pardon me?
It also came through the Planning Commission, I think.
We got to discuss where the phone number went. There's a phone number on the end of the line here for information, and that's mm-hmm. where it ended up with that, like the Planning Department.
Oh, the Planning Department. Okay.
So, all right. Well, now let me ask you this. When or where will there be some sort of list that shows what roads are next to be fixed? Or what will be where the money will be used? I personally can't afford this, but you know it's my problem. I can't afford getting my front end aligned all the time either, which is what I do every time I come around the Lake Sawyer Road with those manhole covers that are sinking or whatever. And I would like to know who do I bill my front end alignments to?
Well, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that if you want to call a public works director, he could probably tell you what projects that they are doing right now to maintain the streets.
Where this money is going.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it. I wasn't as important as some people.
You can also, we used to have a sign-up sheet up here where you could put your name with your email address, and so that Brenda could include you on the mass email that lets you know what's coming up on council agenda. So that you're aware.
That would help. Yeah.
So you can give that information at the end of the meeting or whenever you want to just pop it up to her, or call City Hall so that she can put you on that list.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Robin.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. As far as projects for the city for roads is what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about the six-year TIP, which is the transportation improvement project plan. Transportation improvement plan. It came before council on July 21st, and it lists projects in order or in ranking what they are, what they're going to do. And it was voted down by council members Morgan, Weber, and Pepper on July 21st. And after that, right after they voted it down, all of a sudden they had all these questions that they needed to ask Seth Botcher, the public works director, that they did not ask during the discussion period of this agenda bill, which means that they were out of order, actually, because the discussion period was over. But at the end of the meeting, it was said, it sounds like that a work study would be in order for the six-year TIP, and it was agreed to put this on the next schedule for the next work study, which was August 11th. So August 11th comes in the work study, and public works director is there, and they bring this up, and the first comment was, the six-year TIP wasn't approved to be on the agenda. And it was said that, well, you guys voted to have it come to the work study. And then everybody sat there. Three of them sat there. No questions. Nothing. So what ended up happening was there was no work study on the six-year transportation improvement plan to list what streets need to be worked on. That's not there. And at the end, then, the public works director said that a pro-development action would be to not pass the TIP So I asked for clarification on that, and that is nothing to do with the MPD's Earl Point, but it has to do with anybody else that comes in and wants to develop any land. They cannot then get any traffic mitigation fees from developments because they're not on the six-year TIP. And they would say, well, that stuff isn't on the six-year TIP, so why do we have to do something? So what, by not passing a six-year TIP, because the stuff that's on the six-year TIP right now is stuff that would have to be mitigated, but if you don't pass the six-year TIP, we go by the old one, and that stuff isn't on there. Now, the MPDs are regulated by the development agreements. That stuff is all kind of self-generating. But the six-year TIP is for the city, not for the MPDs, not for Oak Point, not for the villages, not for Lawson Hills. It's for the city. Now, you guys, you know, frankly, you got to get off your duffs. You got to start getting work done for the city. You say, you claim over and over, we want to get work done for the city, but the mayor stands in the way. Yet every time there's work for the city to get done and it's on the
agenda.
Your
time is up.
You guys pass it. You vote it down.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Kristen?
I have another one that's kind of ripped up for some reason, too, so I'll read from that one. My name's Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Washington, in Black Diamond, Washington. And my parents live here, but they always count on me to come here and say things about traffic and other issues because they're busy working 6 days a week. And if I ask my dad to come to a council meeting on a night like tonight, he sort of gives me that evil look. So I wanted to address a couple items that are on your agenda, one item in particular, but another item came to mind regarding the TIP. I did make a comment previously before the council that there wasn't a clear and detailed breakdown of some of the projects that had multiple funding sources. Perhaps the transportation benefit district money would be relevant to also identify in there. I don't really know. And I think that there wasn't a lot of background provided, or really any background provided in an easily accessible format to the public that led to how that TIP was put together. And so haven't seen anything that addressed that comment. The other comment I need to make is on the voluntary traffic mitigation agreement for tonight. I first read this item earlier this week, and it only became available to the public last Friday afternoon. It's complicated and is important because it's going to affect a very busy traffic area and parents taking their kids to school. It's unclear whether this is a SEPA mitigation or a concurrency determination to meet concurrency or under the city's ordinance or both. The memorandum of the agreement states that the city finds that by executing and complying with the terms of the agreement, the district has satisfied the city's concurrency requirements under Black Diamond Municipal Code 11.11. But when you go to the website, you see that Chapter 11 is reserved and it's not updated or listed. So the public would have a very hard time finding out what Chapter 11.11 says. The question for the council is, what proof do you have that the city's concurrency requirements will be met if you approve this agreement? There's nothing in the agenda packet that shows whether a concurrency test was done, no traffic impact analysis, no demand model, no traffic counts, nothing. So how do you know the dollar amount in the mitigation is actually enough to handle the school traffic? The council's being asked to make a determination about a concurrency without seeing a technical concurrency analysis. This could be a precedent-setting vote. The council must not establish the policy that money alone will solve traffic congestion. And just because the district pays $75,000 from one taxpayer's pocket to the other doesn't guarantee that the intersections will be safe and workable for the public, school buses, and parents.
Your time is up.
Time to drop off and pick up their kids.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Judy.
Judith Carrier. Can you hear me? Judith Carrier, Auburn. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you this evening. Our family has 50 years behind us of enjoying the Labor Day celebration in Black Diamond with friends and three different family generations. We attended the July 21st council meeting. I'd like you to keep in mind the council must know what they approve is best for the city. It takes time to get the information needed and the cooperation of the executive branch, that's the mayor and the staff, and the council is responsible for what each one of them decides to do when they vote. The council work takes time and effort, as I said, and currently in this city there's plenty of that. The 21st was the meeting where council members Morgan, Pepper, and Weber all expressed that same appreciation for the Labor Day event and many volunteers that make that happen, and then moved the resolution for approving the event to committee for first reading. If they are working for the people, the council must know that what they approve is best for the city. It takes time, but key Labor Day's documents were not available for the council at the 21st, on the 21st. Keep the date of council meeting, July 21st, in mind. They were not available on the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th. And on the 29th of July, 8 days after the July 21st meeting, a packet of information came, but to only one member by email, this packet. These documents that I have by email, and this is a record of the dates that I just read, were the fire review, which was completed on the 25th of July. Oops, that'll do it. One more minute. You okay? Almost got that in my ear. This is the WSDOT review that was available on the 25th of July, not the 21st. It was authorized on the 22nd by the mayor, day after the meeting. And this is three permits that were completed on the 25th. Three were not necessary, and in fact, may in the future be illegal. And the reason for bringing all that out is that when they go to committee, they are there for a reason, and that is for study, so that they know what they're passing at, and they are responsible for that, legally responsible for that. They don't want to make decisions without that information. Mayor, in your time in office, how many of those years has the city been asked to approve the Labor Day event?
I have no idea.
And Council Members Edelman and Deedy, the same question. You sponsored the resolution, but how many years before, when you've been in office, have you had to approve on the council Labor Day event? Don't know. Well, looking back in the history that was available on the website, it's never had to be approved by the council. Ever. But on the 21st, on the mayor's agenda, our council members were asked to approve it.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will close this public comment session. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda. Councilmember Pepper?
I wonder if we could divide these out, because there's to 1, 2, and 3.
Why?
Why do you want to do that? I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Weber.
I would like to amend the motion to pull out claim check number 43820 and the meeting minutes for the 21st of July and August 7th and have those put under unfinished business.
Okay. I'll second that.
Hold on. What's the check for?
Sorry. That is the check for $15,126.54 for Kenyon Dyson.
And why are we pulling that out?
Yeah, why?
Well, whichever it goes under, I'm pulling it from. I'll speak to it when we get to that point.
Well, we need to make a motion to pull it out, so we should all be on the same page
to understand
why we're pulling it out. Why wouldn't you?
Because I have some discussion on it.
Well, but you've made a motion. Erica seconded it.
Okay.
You can open it up for the discussion, and we're asking why.
Right.
Because you have to have the discussion on your amendment before you go back to the main motion.
All right. So I just wanted to pull this item out just to not to cause a ruckus, but there is the Kenyon Dyson long-term contract that came to council was voted down by the majority of the council. Kenyon Dyson still is acting on behalf of the mayor through
the city.
Okay. The city, but I know the council also approved a contract with Bounce the Law.
You have no authority to hire an attorney.
Anyway, so the issue I have here, it's not that the mayor's not within her authority to come up with a $15,000 or less contract. The issue I have with it is the fact that it's serial contracting. It's not, it's one constant $15,000. So we have three contracts right now that the mayor signed for $15,000 or less with Kenyon Dyson, which equals $45,000. So obviously we're only at 24, roughly half of that. But I just wanted to put that out there on the record that folks understand that that's why, one of the reasons why we still have Kenyon Dyson as a representation.
Mayor.
Councilmember Edelman.
First of all, I think it all needs to be said one more time again that Vansel was not experienced enough. He has no municipal law experience. He was the least experienced of the people that were interviewed. Kenyon Dyson, whether you like him or you don't like him, and everybody in this room knows that we've had our issues over the years, they know the law. You guys just don't like any lawyer who tells you something contrary to what you've been told by someone who is not a lawyer. It doesn't matter. We've gone through this before. It doesn't matter who the mayor is. It doesn't matter who the lawyer is. You guys don't like them. We have an obligation as the city council of the city of Black Diamond to pay our bills. And what you're doing now is not authorizing bills to be paid. And that is wrong.
Councilmember Morgan.
This brings up something that's been going on in this council chamber for far too long. What it brings up for me is that it is fine to argue about one's position on this council bench until the vote's been taken. But once the vote has been taken and there is a majority vote, it is no longer probably even legal to speak from this bench against the majority vote.
That is political stuff, political campaigning stuff. It shouldn't be doing it from inside the council chambers. It's okay to do it when you're running your campaign out on the street.
I don't know what you're talking about. This has nothing to do with political. Whether we have an attorney or not, or whether you believe the attorney or not, has nothing to do with political. You have rejected three attorneys this year already. Three.
Excuse me.
Councilmember Weber has his hand.
Okay.
Thank you. I just want to address what Councilmember Edelman was talking about. I didn't pull this item out for not paying bills. This item, I made a motion to pull out to discuss, because generally things that are in the consent agenda are kind of grouped together and voted on as a group set. That's why I had it pulled out. It's not that I'm not wanting to pay the bills. I have nothing bad to say about Kenyon Dyson. So this is just a matter of wanting to throw some extra information out there that normally isn't out there for a consent agenda item.
Councilmember Edelman.
The thing is, though, is that, you know, when we make a motion and it gets seconded, that opens the discussion. You could have said, I want to discuss the Kenyon Dyson voucher, and that opened it up. You didn't have to make a separate motion to pull it out. It's just part of the normal discussion for this agenda bill. So what is your plan? Do you want to actually pull that voucher out of the consent agenda so it doesn't get paid? Or is it just to discuss it, but we're going to pay it if the consent agenda gets passed?
My intention is to discuss it.
Okay.
And that's what...
But then we're going to have a vote.
Yeah.
And then, well, let's move on to your other things that you want to discuss, because you want to pull the meeting minutes that were in the consent agenda. You don't want those, or is that also for discussion for tonight?
So your motion was to pull those three items and address them separately, all three of them. Was that the intent?
Yes.
What was your motion?
My motion was to remove claim check 43820, the Kenyon Dyson claim check, and the July 21st and August 7th council meeting minutes.
And place them under?
Under unfinished business.
New business. It would be new business.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Erica did.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, they will be under new business. So the next item on the agenda is item number 4, AB16-046, resolution regarding voluntary traffic mitigation agreement with Enumclaw School District. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Well, the city and the Enumclaw School District, we've been hard at work the past 6 months with various engineering studies, reviewing those studies, environmental review.
Hey, Seth, can I get you to halt for a second?
Okay.
We need to pass the rest of the consent agenda.
Oh, yeah, because that was just the one. Yes, thank you.
You are correct. The rest of the consent
I'll be back.
Need to get passed.
Just stay right there, Seth, because it's going to be really quick, because we just go back to the previous motion and you call for the vote.
Right. So all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Very true, Kenny.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Well, I wanted to just let you know that we have been very busy since the fall in moving this project along with various engineering studies, environmental review, reviewing plans. Right now, we've already permitted the demolition of the building, approved the site plan, we've approved the utilities and groundwork, and road improvements, and the putting in foundations. Now that we're passed through the SEPA, we need to resolve the traffic issue. In ensuring concurrency compliance for the new elementary school, we want to do that, but that needs to be done prior to the building permitting in Black Diamond. The city, as we have reviewed and accepted a proposed pro rata share traffic and safety mitigation contribution proposed by the school district and supported by their transportation technical report. We've, as your appointed professional engineer and fulfilling authority of my role, I've reviewed the methodology of the proposal, the equitability, the nexus to the affected intersections, and the proportionality of what is proposed. And that's what we as staff do, and the evaluation of the traffic technical report, that's my job, approving the and signing agreements, that's yours. There is, at the outset, we are in meetings with the school district and with their professionals. We set the various assumptions and to guide those studies. School district has been cooperative and has done an excellent job with their consultants have done an excellent job. But again, that's my role to assess that and determine that we've met the concurrency requirements as well as in concert with our planning director and the evaluation of the impacts through SEPA. This is a common type agreement that you would employ to address traffic mitigation. What this allows is the school district, instead of getting involved with physical design and fixes of various of something at the intersection so they could move forward, this allows them to pay an equitable pro rata share of that fix and be able to get moving, enable them to move forward with their project. With that, I would encourage your support so we can move forward with the school project.
Mayor? Councilmember Edmund?
I think it's really important that this gets passed. This is a benefit to every citizen in this city who has a child that's going to Black Diamond Elementary. If we don't pass this tonight, it's going to delay the school opening, just like a lot of other things in our city that's been delayed because of inaction on the part of the majority on the city council. So I would encourage, especially for some of us that have children that go to that school, that we think about the kids, we think about their safety, we think about the additional funding to the city to get these road projects done that we all know need to be done. Plus, the school district's kicking in an extra $20,000. You know, normal contracts don't work that way. We, again, have got a partner here that's willing to work with the city, and the benefit is to everyone who lives in this city. So I encourage everybody to vote for it.
Councilmember Pepper.
I would vote to table this to the Growth Management Committee.
You have no committees. They have been deemed illegal. You have no committees. You have no committees. You can't move them to a committee that you do not have.
I vote to table this item to go to the Growth Management Committee.
You don't have a committee. Pepper, you have no committee.
I second the move to table this item.
And that's the... you can't table it. You cannot move it to a committee that you do not have. You cannot move it to a committee that you do not have. Councilmember Morgan.
I am moving to table this item because I don't have enough information here in front of me at this particular time.
You have two
to be
here.
Certain that all of the various complicated funding issues have been taken care of. I've had this in my hand for, I think you told me in your remark here, 3 days. No. The city's had it since last March. If it was time sensitive, it should have come before us a long time ago.
Mr. Williamson.
If I could address the council as the interim Community Development Director and have been deeply into this. And I think sometimes we get emotional and we could just take a step back. I think there's a logical methodology here. So under the concurrency agreement, as it establishes, there's only one person here who determines concurrency, and that's Seth Botcher. Council does not have a role in setting concurrency. So your professional engineer, your licensed engineer by the state of Washington, has determined concurrency has happened. That's not for a debate of the council. That has been determined. So when Seth makes that determination, that's it. What is before the council is technically the money, the $75,000 and the $20,000. The $20,000 is a negotiated between staff and the school district to make improvements at the end of Park. And we all know that Park's kind of a weird, and we're not sure ultimately how we'll fix that end of the road. But the school district, working with cooperatively with Seth, established a $20,000 here. We'll move $20,000 towards the city, and you guys figure out ultimately how you fix Park, the steep road there. But the $75,000 was from Heffron, is a licensed engineer, and our licensed engineer approved that. I don't think the council has the authority to overrule two licensed engineers when under our ordinances that the only engineer who will approve that is Seth Botcher. So really what's before the council tonight is, do you want to take $75,000 of school district money, you know, the $20,000 for the park? That's the real issue here. Concurrency has been determined. So that would be helpful. But if the council is still has that conflict, you know, give us direction then. But look back on the concurrency. That's Seth's job. That's what he is licensed. His license is when he determines that concurrency. Heffron's license, when they make that determination of what those things are towards those, each one of those intersections. I mean, so really before you, please, it's the money that the district wants. Do you think that's enough money? Do you not? Do you want to give them some of their money back? I think they would take the money back. We don't want them to stay out of the little consumer. But if we just boil it down, council, that's really what we're asking you, is we've done the work. Seth's done the work. He's a licensed engineer. Their licensed engineers provided that. The district has put additional money in towards Park to fixing it. I mean, we spent a lot of time and effort to get to this point here with a willing partner. So it's everybody's money. The $75,000 is your tax money, too. So if you want to get more, it's less that's going to happen at the school. The school budget is very tight. We deal with these people daily. I'm on the phone daily with them as the staff. The money is tight. The money is tight. The schedule is tight. If we don't move forward with this, as your professional engineer has recommended to you, the cost delays on the school, things will have to be cut. That's it. There is nothing else. So the longer we delay the school project and they don't move forward, there are going to be cuts at Black Diamond Elementary School. So I hope you would listen to me, and I'll answer any questions, or Seth can come back up to you.
That's what we need to be doing now, is asking the professionals questions and not going to some committee that doesn't exist and you have no professionals there. Ask the professionals that know what's going on the questions that you have while they're here in the room. Councilmember Deedy.
So I would ask council. So we heard from Kristen Bryant, who had specific questions, and we've heard from Peter Rimbros. Are these the two people that you want answered questions from that will
help you pass this. Seth Botcher has had the questions from Peter Rimbros. We now have the questions from Kristen Bryant. Both Kristen lives in Bellevue, and Peter Rimbros lives in King unincorporated King County. Are these the two people that you specifically want? Or do you have your own questions that can be asked to Seth and to Andy to get them answered tonight? We've been here till 11 before. We can certainly do it now.
Councilmember Morgan?
I don't think that my questions can be answered that particularly quickly. Right. What I really need, especially after reading Mr. Kenyon's letter this morning, where he had questions about concurrency, and the concurrency isn't just inside the city of Black Diamond. It's on a state highway. There's also other concurrency. I know that Mr. Williamson is closely linked with the MDART. I know that those intersections also have MDART implications. What I am particularly disturbed by is that this went forward without coming to the council before this, because
it wasn't
Point of order. What I see happening is the policymaking decision of the council being compressed into a very short time period, so we can't really consider what we're thinking about. And I see that there is an overall thing with this traffic issue. It's not really a school issue. It's really a traffic issue, but there's a bunch of things to think about. I mean, I think about things like, well, what I know for sure is in the past, the school has turned the light, you know, sent a matron up to turn the light on and off so the school children could cross 169. Here we got more intersections involved. I don't know how much difference that's going to make. But then I'm thinking, not only that, but we have a school ground that we talked about, I think about the last time we had a meeting together, that is to be open for the public to use during non-school hours. So what happens to those people, old and young, who want to cross the street to get to the school ground during not school hours? How is this covered? How is it covered? Well, we don't know this. These are all things I don't know. And I think I need to see a little bit more of the plan, have a little bit more time with it.
How about just to get
past that. Well, when you answer them, there'll only be more. You know, I'm a scientist, so that's what happens. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's answer some of your questions. So in the role as staff, we have to look at what the particular action is in front of us. Mm-hmm. We don't look at what the park is and how that is. And realistically, that's not the issue. That is become, when you do those words that are notorious, and it becomes arbitrary and capricious. We're not allowed to do that. We must deal with the facts of the issues that are brought before us. So on the crossing of the thing there, if you push the button at any time, it activates. That signal activates. Okay. What allows the school is they have a key to override it. So they turn it on. It's on when the kids are there going in and out, and then they turn it off. It is an active striking signal that when you push that signal goes. So, I mean, the debate, again, I must make sure the council clearly understands, and your city attorney, and we need to go in executive session. That's fine. Let's go there. But the council is to look at what that fee contract is. You're not doing Seth Botcher's work. You are not licensed engineers. You are not. When you all voted and you passed a concurrency ordinance, we all remember that, right? That left that power, that decision, to the public works director. Seth is a licensed engineer in the state. I must remind you that again. That is his role. That's staff work. That's not council work to determine concurrency. That is Mr. Botcher's work.
And you've had this in your packet since last Friday, and I invited you when you challenged the agenda that you had 3 days left to come to the city and talk to staff. That is really important that you had 6 days to begin with and you ended up with three and nobody, not one of you, called and talked to Seth or Andy. Nobody.
I mean, I would reiterate like I've asked you the last couple of times. You know, our staffs are at bare minimum. We need to move these things along. This has been well vetted, well tested. Concurrency is done. Engineers, licensed engineers, you know, we're going to drive costs onto the school. Things will be cut. I mean, I'm asking you, please, can we please move forward with this? As staff, we need to get work done. Because if this doesn't pass tonight, this is a ton of work put back onto me and Mr. Botcher. And quite frankly, it's getting overwhelming for us. We thought we brought you good work. He's made a decision. So I think that's all the staff. Seth, did you want to add anything else?
Well, it's troublesome that I can't do my job, that I need to be prepared to defend every little action and review that I do. That's unsettling for me.
All right. Thank you from staff to the council.
Thank you. Yeah. Councilmember Weber.
I guess I just want to say I understand that staff is licensed. I understand that you guys are understaffed. Doesn't help not being able to keep a community development director. But the issue I have here is the fact that when we're dealing with this kind of stuff, when it comes to council, this stuff is pretty involved. It's very technical. For us to sit up here to try to just talk about it in a 10-minute meeting, or, well, half-hour meeting, whatever it works out to be, it's a lot to cover. These decisions that we make up here, especially on something like this, it has far-reaching impact, not only to the school district, to the citizens of Enumclaw, unincorporated, you know, Black Diamond. So all I can say is for myself personally is that I want to know, and I'm not questioning your the staff's abilities to do their jobs. What I want to know is that when I put my vote out there, that's the best thing that we can have, and it's, you know, different sources have been checked.
But
you know, I want
this
it to be
is
thorough.
Staff. You never asked them one question since last Friday. Not one question. I invited you to ask them questions. Nobody asked one question. You had all week to ask questions. These are the people that you need to talk to about this issue, not some invisible force outside of council. This is where you need to talk about it, in council. When our experts are here, when Seth and Andy are here, this is when you need to talk about it. You have no experts that are any better than those two people.
Okay, and I have no qualm with that. But sitting here in a regular scheduled council meeting is not what it's here for.
Yes, it is.
Committee. That's why work is done in committee.
Oh,
if work was not done in committee, we wouldn't have committee.
Brian, how much work have you gotten done in your committees when you had them?
How many things
nothing.
Are still
nothing got done.
That have been voted down.
So, Mayor Benson.
Councilman Beattie.
So I've been on this council for going on 5 years. And I've never sat with a council member that didn't go and speak to staff. As soon as an agenda item came out, and if you disagreed with it, then you call or you email staff or you go down and you knock on the door and you say to the mayor, may I go talk to staff? Can I make an appointment? Because I don't agree with what's on here, and can I sit down? Never in my 5 years have I been on a council with anybody that has not gone to talk to staff. And never have I heard a council member say, well, it's because it needs to go to a committee. We need to discuss it in a committee. A committee of two people that you guys shift around to another two people, and some of them are still in committees for 9 months. 8 months. So It doesn't make any sense. And when you have the perfect opportunity right here for your staff to answer questions, you three always say, Erica always says, my question is too complicated. It can't be answered here. Most of the time, you guys don't even want to ask a question. You want it to go to some committee that's not even approved. So if you can't ask it here in front of your people, your taxpayers, and be transparent right here, I don't know where you're going to do it at. I really don't know. If you can't do it here with all council members to speak up and say, I don't agree with that, Brian, but can you explain a little bit more? If you're not willing to do it here, then you're not really transparent. None of you guys are transparent. I'm sorry, but this three council members is a shame, is a shamble, is
point
embarrassing
of order.
To this council.
Point of order.
I'm sorry, but you can point of order me all day. But if you can't ask the questions and get your staff to answer them, to ask them a question here, and to have a debate, because this is the place for debate, for your people to see you working and to say, I came out of this meeting, and I could tell you, if I'm sitting out there and if I left this meeting, and I could go and talk to a neighbor and say, every single one of those council members had great questions. They were on top of it. They knew exactly what they were talking about. They talked to staff. They came back and they said, staff said this. I didn't agree with this. Or I looked it up. But you don't get that in this council. You get maybe one or two council members, two council members that ask the questions and they bring it forward. But otherwise, you always get it needs to go to a committee. It needs to go to a first reading. That is a trap. It's horrible. Sorry.
So I need a resolution to what's happening here. There is no committees. They've been deemed illegal. There are no committees.
They're not
so
illegal.
You can postpone it to another meeting. You can put it into a work session. Would you like to make a comment?
I might suggest, Your Honor, that we take a 10 or 15-minute executive session.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take an executive
I think
session.
We have a motion to table on the floor.
I can hold.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
I believe we do.
I don't have to bring it to a vote.
Motion can stay
until
we have the executive.
Yeah.
Very common.
We haven't.
I call a meeting back to order.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 16. Provided by the clerk to sign number after adoption, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with the Enumclaw School District for contributions to improvements at four intersections impacted by the new Black Diamond Elementary School project.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
I believe we have a motion on the table to table this item.
I think, but then nothing happened. And that was prior to the.
So we need a vote.
We don't need to take your advice. We have parliamentarians here.
And we have an attorney. So what's the proper role here?
So there was a pending motion to table before the executive session. There should be a vote on that motion.
Okay.
Unless that motion is ruled out of order, which I intend for. So it seems like the proper
Well, it is. Okay. It is out of order because you have no committees. You can't
right.
table it to a committee.
Yeah, right. It's out of order.
That so it's right. out of order.
It's not out of order.
It's out of order.
So there is a motion.
Out of order. Out of order. You can't
call the question.
Them. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I vote to table the motion.
No, it's ill.
You're out of order.
I vote to table the motion.
You're out of order. It's not a legal motion to move it to committee. You have no committees.
I vote.
The motion was on the floor to table this item. It was seconded.
You tabled it to a committee. You tabled it to a committee.
We just tabled it.
So the record's clear. I think the motion to table was ruled out of order by the presiding officer. Given that, floor is a motion to authorize the mayor to execute the traffic mitigation agreement.
However, so,
You can't appeal that.
And I'll second the appeal.
I just want, I want all five council members to be clear on what they're voting on now for this record.
And thank you.
The motion to authorize the mayor to execute the traffic mitigation. That's what the vote is on now.
So that was moved and seconded by Edelman and Deedee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, thank you.
Wait. Excuse me.
No vote, yes.
What? You only had one nay vote.
Yeah, it passed.
So that means it
so
passed.
So it carried. The motion carries.
Excuse me.
You didn't vote.
You didn't vote on the appeal.
It's.
Could we?
He just said could what we were doing.
Could we? Yeah,
the motion carries.
No. There's no do-overs.
We need to have a roll call vote.
Let's move on to the next agenda item. The next agenda item is the new business that was moved off of the consent agenda. So let's address the check to Kenyon Deason first.
Well, like I stated earlier, I just wanted to pull that item and mention that instead of a full contract, or the contract that has been voted down, that there's serial contracts that one after another, $15,000, and it's the mayor's discretion, or it's under her authority to enter a contract for $15,000 or less. The issue is when it becomes a serial item, then it's over and over. So you're circumventing actually hiring a full-time attorney.
The city must have an attorney. I have the authority to hire the attorney. If you will not approve the contract, I can approve them over and over again because it's in state law that I must have an attorney.
Okay.
And it's attorney of my choice, not yours.
And I can appreciate that. So if it's an attorney of your choice, then that attorney is representing the administration.
The city. It doesn't matter whose choice it is. It's representing the city to protect the city.
Now, I brought this issue up a while back when we were discussing building permitting. And I noted that you had the authority to do a contract, and your response to us or to myself was call a special meeting. Well, one of the reasons, if I understand correctly, I'd have to go back and look at my email, that according to the state auditor, that's kind of a red flag if you're continually doing a serial contract.
Not if you have a council that will not approve the contract. It is not. We've already talked to the auditor. We had a conversation about this.
Okay.
We have to have an attorney.
Okay. I just want to, because there was some question on how that amount could be so high, not having a contract. So I wanted to make sure that the information was out to the public about how the legal bill is getting so high, or the claim checks for the cost of that are being paid due to the continual contracts of 15 or
that's
less.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's all I have to discuss on that.
So did you want to approve that?
So I make a motion to pay claim check 43820 for Kenyon Deason in the amount of $15,126.54. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the next item was the minutes. Are you going to discuss them one by one? Is that the intent?
I would defer to Councilmember Pepper.
Minutes, I'd like to pull the minutes. They're actually for August the 4th and July 21st. Some of the persons who, the public that spoke, felt that their comments were not quoted as accurately as they could be.
Most minutes are not expected to be verbatim.
Yeah,
they are.
Mayor?
Councilmember Edelman.
in the spirit of cooperation, which doesn't happen very often with this group, why don't we take, because we all got that email, why don't we make a motion to amend the meeting minutes, add the email that the gentleman sent who took exception to it, and add it as a part of the meeting minutes as an amendment to that meeting minute.
Councilmember Morgan?
There wasn't just one, and the other one I haven't seen a written retraction or restatement of what he said. And both of these gentlemen came to us and said somehow what we meant when we were up speaking was not the principal tone of what was written in the minutes. And, you know, this is the public talking to us. I think they have a right to have their principal idea properly reflected in the minutes. And I just think that they both need to be having their chance to get properly corrected if that's the issue. And that's on the August 4th.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I have no problem with having it be detailed. I mean, even when you were holding your special meetings, those comments were diluted severely. So, and I can assure that people will step up and adhere to that, saying that, yes, their comments were diluted by Garcias who were making those minutes or others. So I only received an email from Edward Bergman about his comments, and he wanted to be listed. I didn't get this email that Eric is talking about, but we can certainly add his email as well to the minutes and be good with it. I mean, there's no reason to debate it. If they want more of their comments in, put it in.
Councilmember Weber?
I'd make a motion to postpone the approval of these 2 minutes until our next regular scheduled meeting. I think that would give the opportunity for councils that have questions to go back and listen to the audio and suggest updates.
That would be the September 1st meeting?
That's right.
So,
Councilmember Deedy?
So I don't understand why you would do that when you have them stating already, at least one of them, what he wants in that minutes. Why we would go back and listen to the audio and change or even add to it when he's already made a statement saying this is what he wants. So why not just add that email to the minutes tonight?
Councilmember Morgan?
For the one fellow who went home and wrote a statement, maybe he's better at writing than talking. That works. For the other fellow who just said, I wasn't quoted properly at all, that doesn't work because he didn't write down a statement yet. Maybe we can ask him to write down a statement. And at the same time, I realize this is sort of digressing just a little bit, but that was for the August 4. For July 21, when we were reading through and listening to the tape, and it was something that Brenda was just talking about just now, we're not sure that the council knew at one point what exactly they were voting on, and we would like to get that cleared so that that's proper in the minutes before we pass them.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yeah, I think I was going to say I like the idea about amending the minutes, but I also like the idea about the other fellow having a chance to do the same. So I don't know how that works.
So who is this other fellow?
That's my question. Because if we're listening to the audio to make changes, I mean, if that's the suggestion, then we should all know who we're listening for.
Right.
Okay. Wait.
I did mark them. Dwayne Garcia.
Dwayne Black Diamond.
Last name?
No.
It was Dwayne Garcia. He just didn't give us his last name.
Yeah.
He sent me.
Did he?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you have words from him?
Minutes for these.
Yeah. He sent it to me.
All right. So I make a motion that these two meeting minutes be amended. What?
We didn't get a second on it.
I'll second.
Wait.
We have to get a second on it.
To amend the minutes of the two meetings as described.
First of all, we have a motion to postpone. Was the last one. Oh. We did not get a second on the motion to postpone.
Move on.
So you're going to withdraw that motion?
Withdraw that.
Okay. So then I can make my motion.
Yes.
Okay. So I make a motion that both of these meeting minutes be amended to include the emails from the two citizens, and they will be updated appropriately.
Do I have a second? That doesn't handle the.
It's 20, the two emails.
It doesn't. They're on the same meeting. It doesn't handle the 21st.
I'm not sure.
July 21st. And on July 21st, when we were listening to the tapes, we weren't certain that the council understood what they were voting on.
Who's we?
And
who's we?
We is Kristen Bryant and one of the other citizens.
She's not on the council last week.
And one of the other citizens, they weren't sure that the council knew what they were voting on at the time. So I think that we need to hold that until we can listen to the tape more closely.
But maybe Councilmember Edelman would be willing to add the date of August the 4th to the amendments, because that's where the amendments. Those
two amendments? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Then, we'll just add that to the August 4th meeting minutes. Do I have to amend my motion? Okay. So it'll be the August 4th meeting minutes. So let's move on with that. With those two emails, you seconded it. I call the question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Wow. Okay. Now, I do have a question.
Yes.
Concerning the other meeting minutes. So we have some folks that have some concerns about what we, the council, may or may not have been aware of during the meeting when we did a vote. Nobody's contacted me about what I think or thought.
Do you have any specifics?
I don't see why, if we as the council don't have an issue with what was in the meeting minutes, that's our job to approve it. Now, if there's somebody out in the citizenry who doesn't understand what our position was, then it's incumbent upon them to contact any of us or all of us and say, hey, I got a question about this. What in the heck were you thinking? So, you know, that doesn't take away from what our job is, which is to approve the meeting minutes, which I support.
I have a comment kind of adding to that. Maybe we could take Councilmember Weber's motion to postpone the minutes till next time, because apparently there are some clarifications that need to be made in those minutes, or there's some confusion in those minutes, and I think it would be okay.
But are you confused? Do you have some confusion with these meeting minutes? Or is it the outside influences?
Well, I think that if there's confusion, then we can
Hold on a second.
No, I'm not looking.
Did we just approve the minutes for the 4th, but not for the 20th, for the 20th?
We withdrew the motion, so there is no motion on the 4th for that any longer.
So we have to decide what to do for the minutes of the 21st. So if you want to postpone it, just postpone it.
Yeah, let's just postpone it.
Make a motion.
I move that we postpone the minutes from July 21, maybe especially so that I can look at the minutes and listen to the tape.
Date certain. Right. September 1st.
September 1st.
That would work.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. We will move on to department reports. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Good late evening, Mayor, Council. This is just a brief update. Kind of a mid-year update of highlights, accomplishments, statistics.
You'll see in the first five pages are kind of a summary of some events that we've held, marine hours, patrol hours, kind of what's going on the lake. Our recent ranking, we moved up from the 22nd safest city to the 9th, so that's a pretty cool accomplishment. I would say on page one, if you look towards the bottom under our calls for service, 2011, we had 2,095. We're up to 2,042 halfway through the year. So even with no population increase, our calls, we're busy. For having one person on, we have a number of calls. So just interesting to look for. And if you go to the very back, you'll see.
Well, I'd like to point one thing out, because in a conversation that I had with Erica Morgan, she talked about she thought all we did was speed traps. So I thought if you look on page two, you'll see all the different kinds of calls that we have for alarm, auto thefts, burglaries, domestic violence, missing person, sex offenses, suicidal, suspicious persons, theft, shoplifting, and vehicle accidents. So there's a lot more than just giving people tickets.
Well,
Councilmember Weber.
Sorry, in Councilmember Morgan's defense, when I moved here, 9 years ago, when I was staying in the hotel for a month in Tukwila, the folks that worked there and people I ran into, everybody knew you don't speed through Black Diamond.
Absolutely.
And we like that reputation still.
That's right, and I don't.
Well, thank you. Two comments for that. One is perception is everything, and my goal, and I wrote it in here, is you're safe partly because of our visibility. I want everybody who comes here to see a cop. That's my goal, and that's where I want my officers to be, as visible. It detracts crime. It makes people feel safe. And number two, there's a reason we haven't had a fatality in 20 years. That's a big deal. We get bad traffic accidents.
And they come to the community center and serve lunch with us several times a month.
If you're interested, like I said, in statistics, and I've always said this from one, if you haven't been out with one of our officers to ride, you should. Because we eat up most of your general fund, and you should see what we do. Come out and work with us. Come sit in the car and ride along anytime we welcome anybody to. And as far as tickets, we give about one-third ratio tickets to warnings. So it is what it is. We'll always have that reputation, so it's a safe one. Anyways, if you have any questions, otherwise take a look through. And
yeah. I have two questions.
Yeah.
Okay, first off,
yes.
Under 2016, you said you've already had over 2,000 calls for service?
2,042 through the end of July, correct.
So, man, is there one reason or another that the calls are just getting so high? Or?
No, nothing in particular. There's just more people out and about. It's not. I can't say it's because we have a higher population.
Right.
Because we haven't. There isn't. I don't know. Hmm. I think it's we're not a small little suburb anymore. We're surrounded by Kent, Covington, and it's just bringing more people, more crime.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, they're having, as I understood it, they're having the more gang issue in Covington. And
absolutely. With bigger cities, you get more of the influx.
Get the bleed over.
Yep.
Okay. My second question is... So, Sergeant, how do you spell it? Say it.
Jirius. Yes.
Now, is he the same one that was playing during the boots and badges?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now I see why you hired him.
Yeah.
He's got mad basketball skills.
Yeah, he played in college. That's his passion.
Cool. All right. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Williamson?
We have a couple issues.
Guys were coming. Andy.
make sure that we move things in a timely manner in front of the council. What you have in front of you is the application from Tough Mudder, and you'll see there is agreements in there from Bill Campbell authorizing the property, the Tough Mudder application. The police department has agreed to it, and also you'll also see the WashDOT signed agreement. This is coming to you on.
And I approved the liquor board today.
There you go. There's liquor going to be served there, too.
So. Beer.
Come on out, everybody.
But that's.
After tonight, don't we? Yeah. I need that to get in front of you because. We need to have that approved by the council on September 1. So I'm giving you enough information, I believe, hopefully, so that we can actually take action the first time. I'm hoping that this would count as the first time in front of the council. And that on September 1st, you'll see the sign-off from the additional staff members. You'll see that actually the WashDOT contract that it says by the 18th. We'll just put those final elements on there. I think this is the fifth year that Tough Mudder has been in there. Mm-hmm. They do, and people always ask, well, what do we get out of Tough Mudder? Well, one, we get nationally recognized. People know of Black Diamond, oh, the bakery things. It's residual things. We sell them a lot of water. Seth's Waterfront does it really good. We do get sales tax from all the things that are there. But the Kiwanis Club, which I happen to be a member of also, so I'll take a sidestep, is... that's one of our largest fundraising events. We are the ones who serve the liquor. So we, as the contestants, come to get a free beer in each cup. The Kiwanis Club makes a little bit of money off that through Shop Top. We're just there as a vendor. But that money stays right here in this community. I mean, so it's very important as a civic also thing. So that's in front of you. Please, you all have my number and my phone number. If you've got a question, please come and see me. But we need to really make sure that that gets action and council approval on the first. So if we don't have action approval on the first, the event will be canceled, okay? Because it's too close towards the end. They need to have reassurances to get it done. So.
What's their date? It should be able to find here,
September
right?
September 24th or 25th.
Oh, 25th. Here it is.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
24th and 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that gives the council enough time that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'll tell you, I appreciate having the information ahead of time. That makes our job a lot easier, so good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right,
cool.
Perfect.
And the second item I have to bring before the council I'm very hopeful that we can have a kumbaya moment here at the Black Diamond City Council and we can all put our arms around something and agree on something. So it has been a debate that has raged across this, and I think the word rage is quite appropriate as the council has debated the DKS and the contract and all those things. And we saw, I think, a extension from Councilmember Morgan to staff last council meeting has said, and I think Mr. Weber and Councilmember Pepper, you guys all agreed that if I was to bring these things forward, that you would then authorize the movement forward of the DKS. So taking the direction from the council, the first page is the letter from DKS. It says, Dear Mr. Williamson, the additional services provided by DKS are documented in the attached professional services contract and have been fulfilled. Work performed by DKS was critical to meet the objectives of the Comprehensive Plan Update Transportation Element. DKS has received full payment for the City of Black Diamond in the amount of $10,000. It lists the checks number, and the contract is complete. Please feel free to contact either of us. So there is the, it's paid in full, the contract is complete. Councilmember Morgan then asked me to have them put form a contract that listed the stuff that they did, so we would also have that going forward in the record. And that's a really good idea, that we should have a contract of that lists what those items are, what we got, So that would forever be in the record. That was a really good point. So with that, we have this comprehensive, what they did. On the back, you'll see it is, again, the fixed amount of $10,000. It has been signed by their principal. Now, this took me a little bit of time to work through all this, right, because right, I'm trying to calm everybody down and make this work through it. This has been reviewed by our city attorney's office for the legality of the contract. So I'm hopeful tonight that the council will, I followed your direction, and here's the bills and everything. I think it's all here. I followed your directions precisely. So I look forward to council action on this. That we can do this. You'll authorize the mayor to sign the contract, and we can put this to rest, and then I'll come back before to you with the new DKS contract so we can move forward with the comp plan.
Councilmember Weber.
I appreciate you doing all, taking Councilmember Morgan's suggestions, my suggestions. The only issue I have, and it's not a bad thing, since this is a contract, should it come, I guess this would be a formality question, should this item come through as a resolution, as a contract, like every other contract that comes through?
Well, I might give you one.
It certainly can, but there's no legal requirement, absent a code requirement. Yeah. No legal requirement. It can be done by motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because you put it on the table last time, it has to come off the table this time. Now, there are options. I looked it up in Ann McFarland's mastering council meetings, and she specifically says that when you table something, you cannot leave it on the table. It has to come off the table. So her suggestion is that when people table a motion in an effort to kill it, what they really should use is a motion to postpone indefinitely. So if you don't plan on killing it and you tabled it last time, you can take it off the table and make a motion to approve the check. That would be the appropriate thing to do, unless you really did want to postpone it indefinitely. But if you really plan to take it off the table today, which you have to do, you can't leave it there, then you should make a motion to approve the check, which you, that's all you have to do.
No.
Councilmember Morgan.
Okay, that clears up, I think, what we probably need to do to pay this check. There is still another pending issue about this, that when I went back and reviewed what was going on, this contract with DKS is for a growth management issue because it's about the transportation. And the mayor's authority to authorize a payment without coming beforehand for council approval isn't for $10K, it's for $7,500. And
Erica, you have a problem here. That check was paid under a subconsultant, and David Linehan explained that to you at the last meeting. We had a contract with Berger ABAM. I was not stepping outside my boundaries at all. You have misinterpreted that. This was part of a contract with Berger ABAM. All we're trying to do is satisfy you to approve this check. That's all we're trying to do at this position.
I just want to be sure that it's understood that that spending limit applies in the future until it's changed by the council.
Okay, well, I guess I'll make a motion to take the DKS voucher off of the table.
You can take it off the table and accept, approve it at the same time.
And approve it. Do I have a second?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Andy.
So we're on to department reports. Next month, Judge Dane is going to come talk to us about the court since there were some issues with meeting with Erica Morgan and our vouchers. We're going to have Judge Dane here explain what her court is doing with a report. On Tuesday, I attended a South County Area Transportation Board, and in the morning and in the evening, I attended Goral's one-year anniversary since he passed away. And on Wednesday, I attended the Working Waterfront Tour along the harbor and learned a lot about the Port of Seattle. And then today was chief for a day, and we had 33 chiefs from all over the state of Washington. We have two chiefs this year, Hunter and Sienna, and would like to bring them to council to introduce to the entire council because it's a very important event that happens with these kids with cancer and get to be chief for a day and do a lot of special events. And Councilmember Deedy.
So I just have one, well, I have a couple of things to say, but I just have one statement. As we had executive session and somebody in the audience questioned how you ask staff questions while you work a full-time job. From September to December, every year I work at Costco full-time. It takes me an hour to get there, an hour and a half to get home. I am on the phone or I'm emailing through my city server to staff on my breaks and on my lunch, talking to staff, trying to get questions that are come up for council meetings. I've also had questions, phone calls from citizens and non-citizens while I've been at work, where I couldn't call or talk to them while I was working, but I waited till my break and my lunch, and I called them back. So I make an effort, because I take this job very seriously, to make sure that I am doing my job to get a hold of staff and to get a hold of citizens, even if I am working an eight-hour job and traveling for 2.5 hours. I spend a lot of time on the phone on the way home from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock talking to staff. So that is how I do it when I work a full-time job and do this job. So I also attended the Port of Seattle tour, the waterfront, with Council Member Edelman and the mayor. I attended chief for a day, 33. Oh, my gosh. This is, what we do here is ridiculous. The kids are fighting a fight, and they're adorable. I'm going to cry. But these children are brave and just worthy of recommendation. Chief for a day, they're happy. They're having fun there. Everybody goes out and just makes it a special day for these children. So if you ever have a chance to go to Chief for a Day out in Des Moines, it's worth it. It's every 2 years. Commander Goral, I went to his 1 year celebration of life. Missed that guy. He was a great asset to the city. And it's still tough. It's still hard to believe that it's been a year since he's been gone, but what a great asset he brought to all of us. So thank you.
I wanted to say, too, that all the toys and everything in the squad room are things that citizens and the police officers went out and got donations, and we were able to give each one of those kids over $8,900 in cash from donations raised from this city and the events that we've had.
Yeah.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. I wanted to report, I have a little bit more to read than I often do, but I wanted to report about the budget and financial management workshop, because we're getting ready to do our budget soon, and because there were thoughts there at that workshop from their overview that translate well into other parts of our government. So the first thing that they said in their beginning overview of this financial management workshop that went on for 2 days was, it's all about the conversation between the municipal players, and then they had some relevant questions to ask. Is the price right for the citizens? Are they getting good value? Are they getting what they actually want? Does the budget include correct trade-offs between asset good things and bad things? Does it separate needs from wants? And does everybody remember that it's the community's money? There's no city money. It's just the community's money. So then the next big thing that they talked about was to figure out how to align your community resources and community goals. This is a call to develop an economic development plan that is rational, realistic, reasonable. It's the same one that I gave you last week. Realistic, reasonable, and that can be accomplished. In other words, it must stem from the strong points in the built and natural environment. Develop a way to mitigate whatever the weaknesses are and to highlight whatever the strengths are. If we can contribute on a wider scale, so much the better. This is so that Black Diamond can capture dollars from the outside to revitalize the home economy. New money was come in continually, so we're not just trading money back and forth from hand to hand where taxes and expenses continue to deplete the money and ultimately our shared capital. If Black Diamond will prosper and be able to pay its bills into the future, it's imperative to the vision that the vision statement from the comprehensive plan be based on real goals and that policies are guided in the same direction. The secret is there's no easy way out. Plan developments could be something good if we can afford them. They could also be a financial disaster that brings the city into bankruptcy. The result will depend on how solid our financial position is on its own merit before development begins. And then the next part was sort of a change that the budget office is telling us about. It says generally in the past in Washington, the financial person made a budget and the mayor checked it out. Since the downturn, and they've been trying to figure out how to help cities weather the storms better, there's a new way. We are being taught in this class that all the citizens and everybody has a role to play. Policymakers, that's the council, provide policy guidance, confirm that the budget meets the direction that the citizens of the comp plan monitors for conformity and results of that plan. The mayor proposes a policy at the beginning of the budget process and then develops strategies to implement the policy that the council finally adopts. But departments develop an operational strategy based on their needs, and they provide a service. This is their job. And this was a budget person was cautioning us. That's their job. They're probably going to be passionate about their job, and they're also accountable for the day-to-day operations of the city. And the public are the stakeholders. It's their money. They observe the results, and they counsel their policymakers with their thoughts and ideas and concerns, and then those get wrapped through these policymakers' heads and come out in some kind of policy over this bench. So on additional notes, towards the end of that first part, we're describing good financial hygiene in policymaking. And number one is there's to be no secrets in City Hall. Even simple policy should be before the public at least three times and discussed in a committee meeting where there can be back and forth discussion and evaluation of pros and cons, and there can be conversations, what if conversations, so that you can avoid the unintended consequences to the best of your ability with the people that you have to talk to. And number two is when your position does not prevail, don't belabor it. Move on. That's what's in your best interests. Thank you.
Okay, on the 11th, I met with Mae Miller and the mayor and Tammy Deedy to talk about the vouchers, because we do that on the off Thursdays. so that we know what bills are being paid and where the money's going. On the 16th, I also attended the Greg Gorrell Memorial, and something that you guys didn't mention was we did, unfortunately, it was Green Bay Packer colors, not Seahawks, but in honor of Greg, it was green, yellow, and white balloons, and they were helium-filled, and we let them go, and as they headed east, they formed a heart. Yeah. That was the coolest thing ever. And it was, people were laughing. We were celebrating Greg's life. It was wonderful. And Angel's doing great, and so were the girls. On the 17th, they went to the Chamber of Commerce luncheon, and I also did the Port of Seattle tour last night. That was really enlightening on what happens at the port from the water side, because we're usually on Elliott Avenue. So that was neat. And then today I did Chief for a Day. And anybody who has had a family member with cancer, it touches your heart. But when you see two-year-olds battling, running up and down the stage, playing with the balloons, going out and playing, the cadets at the academy were their little guides, and it just warms your heart. So take heart, you people. This is just stuff, and we need to get over it, and we do need to move on and get the work done. What's important are our families and our friends and the people that we know that are ill that maybe need a hand. And that's where our emphasis ought to be. The rest of this stuff is so darn petty, I just can't get over it. So thank you.
Councilmember Weber.
Let's see. I don't really have a whole lot I'm going to cover tonight. I just do want to mention, since we were kind of on the school thing tonight, I don't know how many folks know that the kids that are going to J.J. Smith down in Enumclaw, excuse me, from Black Diamond Elementary while they're, we'll say, misplaced for a year. Those guys have done a pretty good job down there getting that school put together and revamped. I'm usually down there 5 days a week picking my son up from Basque. So I've seen a lot of changes over the course of the last couple months. I think it's going to be good. They've got a really nice playground, and I think it'll be a good school. And I also wanted to give, even though my older boys were Mount Tahoma, I'd like to thank the couple of Chief Seattle Boy Scouts that came in tonight. It's a little crazy, but usually government and politics, well, it just kind of goes hand in hand, I think, sometimes. But thanks for coming out, you guys, and that's all I have.
I don't think you have your microphone now.
I have known parliamentary procedure in different settings, but I find that in this setting, we really need, I think, a registered parliamentarian to kind of help us along so that we can have our meetings and our elected officials can each perform their roles and duties. I think that the council vote, the points of order, and some of the things that help make a meeting clear, we still need to work on. So, and I know as I drive by the school, the Black Diamond Elementary School, I think that it's really exciting that we're going to get a new school in Black Diamond, and I look forward to watching it go up. So, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Thank you.
Do we have an attorney's report?
You do not.
Okay, we'll go back to public comments. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes, state your name, and what city you work in, and is there anybody wishing to address council?
Where you work?
Where you live. Sorry, I didn't know I said that. I work and live in the same place, so it doesn't matter to me. But. Well, seeing no one, I will close this public comment period. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Whoop.